I guess, take note, kind of think through things, look at some mistakes that we made, how we should have handled that better. I believe it was talking about to recognize and then repent and go forward. Tonight we're going to talk about, and we could entitle this Happy New Year or What to Do When You Come to a New Year. And obviously that's just seconds apart, right? I said, and those that were with us said that we weren't going to stay up till midnight, but we did. And we yacked right on through till it was midnight and so forth. And I heard a few fireworks. It was nothing like the 4th of July, though, where we were anyway. My house where I live on the 4th of July, I just sat on my back porch, and it was like being downtown at, what's that thing, some Thunder Over Louisville or a Thunder Under Louisville or something like that. It was a great one, but I saw a few, but I guess it was too cold for our firework buddies and some of them and things like that. But Happy New Year, or What to Do When You Come to the New Year. And in the Bible it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in other words, we get saved, we get Christ in us and we're in Christ. It says here, he is a new creature. And so when you get saved, you become new. And whether it was, I know I was saved at 10. Some of you were saved younger. Some of the ones that are younger in here got saved when they were younger than 10. Some got saved when they're older than 10 and so forth. And so, but when you become a Christian, when you get saved or you get born again, you become a new creature. We know the story of Paul. He was Saul before he became a Christian, and he persecuted the church and persecuted Christians. And on that road to Damascus, he got saved and he became a new creature. So even his name changed. He went from Saul to Paul. He went from Christian persecutor to Christian and so forth. And so we see here, it was just like he was a new creature. He was different. So just like it was 2023, and then one click of the clock or the second hand, boom, it's 2024. Just like that. And so you can go from being lost and on your way to hell to saved and on your way to heaven, just like that. And you can be an old creature. And so even some of us, like myself, that got saved at 10, and there were some old habits that I had, yes, that new creature inside of me had some new habits that it wanted to develop. But the bad thing about salvation and being a Christian is that old man is still there. He's piggybacking. He's holding on to your ankle. Whatever. He's not going to leave you alone. And so he wants you to revert back to your old nature. But that new nature is saying, no. This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is what we need to do. Go forward. And so we're going to always have that battle. But we see here that if a man be in Christ, he's saved, he's born again, he's a new creature. And the Bible says, old things are to be passed away. Behold, all things are supposed to become new. And so, just like Christmas time, I don't know about you, I don't really think I got a pair of socks this year. Usually the older you get, the more socks you get. I did get a new tie, things like that, stuff that, kids would be like, ugh. They want toys, they don't want clothes, right? But I remember, as I used to, enjoy getting socks or shirts or shoes. My old socks, some people call them their church socks because they're holy. Some of you didn't even get that. But anyway, there are holes in them. And, your little toes poking out there, woohoo! Or you're getting a rub on the bottom of your foot because it's holy. Usually when you get new socks, those holy socks go in the trash. All right? And then you get what you call your, work socks or socks that you don't mind getting dirty. And then you got your new socks. And so you're just replenishing. Old ones trash, medium or, some that's worn out a little bit, slide over to your work socks. Here's my new socks. Same thing with shirts. They're old, they're faded, they have holy. Maybe they go into the trash or they become shop rags. All right. And then your ones that's got a little bit worn on them, they go to your work shirts now. But they're not shop rags, they're still work shirts. And you got your new shirts. And I have shoes like this. My grass-cutting shoes, they usually go in the trash. My worn shoes now become my grass-cutting shoes, and my new shoes go in there. So old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what we have to do. Each year or anytime you get something new, you might give your old one to a friend. I don't know. But anyway, you get rid of it. So when you become a Christian, there's some things that's got holes in it that's faded or there is trash. You need to get rid of it. And then add some things. So The old things have passed away. And so, before, if you got saved and maybe your words changed, there were four-letter words that didn't need to be said, words that might not need to be said anywhere, any place, they go away and you get new words. Like, praise the Lord. You probably didn't say that before you were saved. If you did, it was making fun of it. Amen or glory to God. Those are the things that we add to our vocabulary where we get rid of some of the old vocabulary. Sad to say, there were some friends that I had to get rid of. I invited them all to church. I said, I'm a Christian now, and if you're going to hang out with me, I'm not doing that anymore. Why? Because all things are supposed to become new. And some of them chose to get saved and stay my friends and let all things become new in their life. Some of them said, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to do that. You're loopy for doing it. Sorry, your choice. I'm still your friend. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to witness to you. But my friends, some of my old friends had to change to new friends. Some of my activities that I did, they weren't godly activities. They weren't obviously, what a Christian should do. So those activities changed. Some of my music had to change. Why? Because all things are supposed to become new. So we see that. So at a new year, we're supposed to look at it and say, okay, what do I need to get rid of? It's faded. It's got a hole in it. It's not, it says in the scripture not to participate in that. So I need to get rid of that and let all things become new. And so as way of introduction, we got a few things here. When all things became new into me, God gave me a new direction. Or I'm sorry, a new destination. God gave me a new destination. So when I became a Christian, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. God gave me a new destination. Why? Because before I got saved, you know where I was headed. I was headed to hell. That's where I was going, to where the devil lives and where you're going to burn forever. But when I became a Christian, old things passed away. My destination changed. I went from going to hell now to going to heaven. So not only did my destination change, my demeanor changed. My demeanor changed. Saved, unsaved people, you can just tell. All right, a lot of them aren't just like wicked or mean. They're just lost. And so forth. And so their demeanor, they're not excited about much unless it's a sport or unless it's a hobby that they like or unless it's something that's enjoyable to them. But we see here when you get saved, our demeanor should change. Our demeanor basically is our outlook on life. I remember before I got saved, my demeanor, my outlook on life was it's all about me. That was it. All right. If I wasn't happy, nobody around me was going to be happy. I was pitching one. I was griping, I was complaining, I was whining about it. But when I got saved, we see here our new demeanor, it became all about Him. And so some of us, though, we try to keep that me monster. It's all about me still. But I'll try to appropriate it and make it look like a Christian. But it's still all about me. If I'm not happy, nobody's going to be happy. And so forth. But when we get when we become a new creature, our demeanor should change. And we see the Bible says in Psalm 33:3, sing unto the Lord a new song. So when we get saved, we ought to sing unto the Lord a new song. Our music, we already talked about that, might have to change. Psalm 40 verse 3 says here, He has put a new song in my mouth. That's what Psalm 40 verse 3 says. Psalm 98 verse 1 says this, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. And so again, before I got saved, I was talking about things I shouldn't have, singing about things I shouldn't have sing about. And I mean, if you listen to the world's music, you wonder why there's killings everywhere. You wonder why there's just hatred, race hatred and cop hatred and all this kind of... Why? Because that's all they sing. Shoot this person, kill this person. And it's just over and over and over in them and you wonder why. I know they blame the guns, but we can blame the music too. It's just crazy. But when you get saved, He puts a new song. It says here, for He hath done wonderful things. A person that doesn't have Christ in here, and he opens that hymn book and he starts singing those words, it makes no sense to him. It doesn't sound good to him. He'd rather be getting to his hips or getting to his fingers or getting to his feet. Why? Because there's nothing inside. But when that new person gets saved, you open that hymn book, it's hard for me not to have this start coming. Because why? He's done marvelous things. I was on my way to hell. Now I'm on my way to heaven. How marvelous is that? I was wicked as the day is long, but now God helps me to try to do decent in life. How marvelous is that? So he's done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, hath gotten me, or gotten him the victory. And so he gave me a new demeanor. So not only did he give me a new destination, he gave me a new demeanor. Here's the next one. He gave me a new direction. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So he gave me a new direction. Again, before I got saved, it was all about pleasing my friends. My friends said, "Hey, come do this." Okay. That was the direction I was heading. It was all about me. What makes me happy? There's my direction. But God gave me a new direction. It's all about Him. Make Him happy. Here's the Word. Here's the light. Here's the path. Follow it. He gave me a new direction. Number four, He gave me a new determination. A new determination. All of us in here are prideful. All of us in here are stubborn. All right, those are two character traits we all got. All right, what we ought to do is when it becomes a new creature, okay, take that stubbornness and take that prideful and put it in the Word of God. Okay, the Bible says, "I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the same today, I'm the same yesterday and forevermore." That sounds a little arrogant, a little prideful. But it's true. God's like, "I'm not changing." So take that's inside of you, that stubbornness, God put it there. That pride, God put it there. And we can be proud of God, and we can be proud of the Bible, and we can be proud of our church, and we can be proud of the Christian life. Again, not to the point where we become me monsters, but we can be proud of that and be stubborn about it. Old things are passed away. I'm not going back. Use that stubbornness. I'm not talking like that anymore. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to participate in that anymore. I'm going to be stubborn about that. So we see here He gives us a new determination. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:15 and 4:24, pretty much the same part, same verse. It says this, and that ye put on the new man. So we got to put on the new man, whether after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the closer you get to God, the further you'll get away from the world. So the Bible says here, though, in Ephesians, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see. I did get a new, some people call them puffer vests, slicky material, a little. And so I got a new vest, and so I wore that, I guess it was yesterday for the first time. But when I opened it out of the box, I said, "Oh, pretty nice little vest." And you know what I did? I put it on. Well, you got to see if it fit. All right. Sometimes you get those things and they don't meet in the middle, you know. Like, oh, or, you know, especially, you know, this has got to be from the devil. All right. You know, 16 and a half. I don't want to go to, 17. I better stay off a biscuit or two. But anyway, you try it on to see if it fits. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Another connotation of put on is like some of you kids try, Monday morning school. Oh, feel good. I think I need to stay home. All right, my mama said, either puke or shut up. All right? Not that, "Oh, I don't feel good." Well, feel your way on up to the bus stop, okay? Oh, my goodness. You either be throwing up, all right, or, no fever, no puke, no staying home. All right? So what we put on, we act, we pretend. And the Bible even says that David told his, soldiers, "You play the men. We're scared." All right? I know we're all scared, but you go out there and play like you're not. You go play the men. You stand there, you battle and things like that. You play like you're not scared. And that's what this new determination is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to get closer to God. Closer we get to Him is farther away from the world. Now, the Bible talks about those generations. There was a generation that did this and a generation that did this. And so obviously we've been here. Several of you, myself included, we've been here many generations, all right? We're here. But let's say, for instance, here's the separation. Let's see, the world's here and Christianity's here. That's that split second we talked about, 2023, 2024. Lost on our way to hell, saved on our way to heaven. It's right here. And so we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to get closer to Him. And so what happens is, let's say, for instance, if this is the world and I'm getting, I'm growing in Christ, I'm becoming a new creature, I'm getting closer to God, I'm being a stronger Christian, I'm getting further away from the world. But what happens is the world moves too. And it gets worse and it worse and worse. And so as time takes, we're supposed to put on and get further and further and further away from the Lord. So we ought to win the victory. Why? Because that old man's going to raise up. He's going to try to get you to go back to your songs, back to your friends, back to your worldly activities, back to your worldly words. He's going to try to get us to go. We got to keep going away from him. So then the last one in the way of introduction, not only did he give me all those new things, he also gave me a new desire. So a new destination, a new demeanor, a new direction, a new determination, and lastly, he gave me a new desire. I'm going to read you a verse here in Lamentations 3, because it takes us a while to find that, some of us. But Lamentations 3, verse 22 says this, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." All right? And so God wanted and said, okay, hey, when I saved you, I wanted all the old things to become old and pass away and never to stick their head up again. And I want everything in your life to become new. And but you get closer to God and become a stronger Christian and love me, things like that. But he knows our flesh. He remembers our frame, the Bible says. He knows that we're dust, all that kind. So it says here, it's by the Lord's mercy that we aren't consumed. So if God said, old things are passed away, behold, all things are new, and if you make one little mini, little bitty, bitty, itsy bitsy mistake, taking you out. I mean, if that was the rule, I think maybe it would put some pressure on us to not backslide, but we take advantage of His mercy sometimes. But it says right here, it's the Lord's. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Listen why. Because His compassions fail not. Just like those of us that have children, they can get on our last nerve. They can drive us crazy, probably a pretty short trip for most of us. You know, they're just right there. But, you know, especially if it's a girl. Whew, I never had sons, but I have granddaughters. And now those little big old crocodile tears can come up that little lip. I mean, pawpaw melts, all right? And we see here, praise God, because His compassions fail not. God's compassionate on us. Verse 23, look what it says here. They are new every morning. Talk about His compassions that fail not. They're new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. And the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. So what we have to realize is, just like a new year, I make my resolutions, I turn my leaves over, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to do this anymore. And all of a sudden it pops back up. God's not going to consume you, squish you. His mercies are new every morning. So what happens is the devil's like, you shouldn't make all those lists. I'm going to determine. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to pass out more tracts. I'm going to be more faithful to this. And we make one little slip. What, we 3 days in? Anybody, I won't ask anybody to raise their hand if you've backed up on what are those things called? New Year's resolutions, things like that. But if you do, what the devil wants you to do is say, I just have to wait till 2025 now. I've blown it. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore until 2025. I'm not going to pass out a tract till 2025. I'm not going to be faithful to church till 2025 because I done messed up. No, stop. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His compassions fail not. So even if you did make a resolution or a commitment to God and you've already backed up on it 3 days in, tomorrow morning, even 2 seconds from now, if something just came into your heart and you said, God, please forgive me, I goofed, He will. So praise the Lord, He gave me a new desire that I'm going to commit. So anyway, that was the introduction. We got 10 minutes to give you my points here. So how to have a good year. Number one, it's all in how you look at it. It's all in how you look at it. You know, some people are pessimistic. I'm not going to have a good year. Why? Because I didn't have one in it last year or the year before that, by the way. And it's just, you know, life stinks. It's miserable. Blah, 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 blah. Whoa! It's all in how you look at it. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. He's in control. He knows what's going on. It's all in how you look at it. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says this, "For the Lord will help me." It's right there in the Bible. Isaiah 50 verse 7. "For the Lord will help me. Therefore, shall I not be confounded. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get pushed under. I'm not going to be consumed. The Lord will help me. It says here, therefore I have set my face like a flint. There's that determination. I have set my face like a flint. Some of you might know what a flint is. Some people not. It's a very hard rock. You maybe sharp knives with it or spark it to start fires with it. It's hard. And so, you know, if you're determined, you might see those jaws lock up. You know, again, when I played in eighth grade football, I was on the line. And I would look across to that guy, and you could tell in their eyeballs if it was going to hurt or not. You know, they'd be like a deer caught in the head, like, I don't want to get hit. Oh, this is going to be all right. But man, if that jaw was locked, those little beady eyes looking at me, I'm going to mash you into the ground. You might better get nervous. Set your face like a flint. The Bible says in Isaiah, the Lord's going to help me. Therefore, I'm not going to be confounded. I'm going to set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. So be determined. Number two, Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was His mind? I didn't come down here to do my will. I came down here to do the will of Him that sent me. That was His mindset. He wasn't going to offend God or displease God. He was going to do His will. Let this mind be in you. Ecclesiastes 9:10. And I believe we talked about this, these two in Sunday School Sunday. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You better get it done now, because when you go to the grave, none of this stuff's going with you. Get it done. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Colossians 3:17 and 23. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, and do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And verse 23 says this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business. Again, you ought not be slothful in any business. If you tell somebody you're going to be there, be there. If you tell somebody you're going to do that, do that. That's just how you handle your business. Don't be slothful in that. And then do it fervently. This determination. So number one, it's all in how you look at it. Number two, it's all in how you react to authority. It's all in how you react to authority. And that goes from the little guys to the teens to us adults. Even us adults have to obey authority. We have to. I won't get into that. But anyway, I'll just read you the verse. Hebrews 13:7 and 17. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God. So your parents probably did Bible devotions. Remember them. Your Sunday school teacher taught you the Word of God. Remember what they taught you. Your preachers taught you the Word of God over the years. Remember what that's what it said here. Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow. What they encourage you to do from the Word of God, do it. Then it says here, considering the end of their conversation. So obviously, if a person wasn't saved and the preacher said, hey, you need to get saved because the end of the conversation is you dying and going to hell. Listen. Follow that faith. Get saved. Hey, if you put God first in your life, the Bible says He will seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. If you don't seek God first, you're going to make a mess. You're just going to flop through life from one problem to the next. Why? Because you're not putting God first. Listen to the end of the conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account. That ye may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable to you. Again, your parent telling you what to do, biblically speaking. If you don't do it, it says this right here, it's unprofitable to you. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get messed up. And so, same thing, those that's taught the Word of God to us, things like that, we need to listen. And it's not only is it all in how you look at it, it's all in how you react to authority. Number three, it's all in how you follow the rules. Follow the rules. A lot of people are... They're all about it, maybe like military. They're all about let's fight for our country. But then they hear what they would have to do and how they would have to do it, how long they would have to do it, and how early they'd have to do it. I'm not going in the military. All right, no, sir. I like my Goldilocks too much. I'm not getting a shaved head. I like to sleep in. They hear about the rules. Well, I want to be on that team. I want to host a trophy, and I want to wear that uniform. Well, okay, if you're going to, you have to practice. You have to do all this stuff in practice. Oh, I want to hear the rules. Same thing. Christian life, okay, I don't have to go to hell and I get to go to heaven. That sounds good. Oh, there's a book of rules? It's all in how we listen to the rules. So even if it hurts, God is thinking of you, others are thinking of you, and they're thinking of your future. So when those rules are applied and taught and instructed, that doesn't make sense. Follow them. Well, even if it hurts getting up earlier, even if it hurts running, even if it hurts reading and studying and praying, even if it hurts, and I've used this illustration before to bring out a different point about our cows. When I was growing up, we divided our pasture in half with the electric fence, and how that every one of them would come out of the woods and look at it. The calf looking at the new gate is for reals. They would all look at the fence like, you seen this before? What do you think this is? And one by one, they would all go up there, touch it, and you'd hear on that wet nose, and they'd run down through the woods. And they didn't like it. And you would think the other 42 of them that just watched that one do that would just turn and go away. Nope. They all had to get their turn. And to fry their nose, and they would do it. But you know why we did that was for their own good. Because during the wintertime like this, the grass wasn't going to grow. So this side grew and they couldn't eat it. And we cut it down and baled it and put it in the barn. So at wintertime, we were able to go get that hay. Here you go, fat and happy. Right? But all of you were pitching a fit about the stupid fence. Oh, that hurt. Goodness gracious, what kind of farmer is this? I wanted to go eat on that side today. You know, make us stay over here. How dumb, how hard are these rules? But that winter, they were eating that hay. So when your parents say, kids, you're not going to do that. That's dumb. They're just watching out for your future. Okay? In other words, if they said, you know, I don't care how good looking that dude is, you're not dating him, little missy. Well, that's not fair. He's gorgeous. He's a hunk of a man. He's Mr. So-and-so. And then years later, you see Mr. So-and-so in jail for beating the woman that he did marry. Mom might have been pretty smart right there. That's what this is talking about. It's all in how you react to authority. It's all in how you stay in bounds and obey the rules. So everything that we're enjoying life today is because we obey the rules. I'm enjoying being married. And I have a lovely wife, and my goodness, but I had to obey the rules. I couldn't have 16 wives. All right. Just one. All right, that's it. That's it. So, I mean, praise the Lord, I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying preaching, serving God. Why? I've obeyed the rules. The Bible says that I'm supposed to be the husband of one wife. I had to obey that rule. The Bible says I'm supposed to not live in a way that the ministry could be blamed. You know, what if I was downtown Taylorsville, blankety blank you, blank, blank, blank this, give me a beer. Oh, pastor at Lighthouse, yeah. No, I have to obey the rules to fill this position. There's all kinds of rules. And so what do we do at to have a good year? We be a good child of God. Kids, you know this verse, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And then verse 2, honor thy father and mother. But that applies to us adults too. We ought to honor our father and mother by living the right way. But we also have a heavenly father that we need to obey. We need to be a good child of God. Number 2, we need to be a good student of the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So you can rightly divide the scriptures. So we're going to have a good year this year. We're going to have to be a good Christian. Or a good child of God. We're going to have to be a good student of the Scriptures. Number 3, we're going to have to be a good friend. A good friend. Again, people out there today, they have a misconstrued, thought process of friendship. The world's told us, you know, if you're a good friend, you won't squeal, I think it was a word back in the day. Narc. Well, it was one, tattletale, tattletale. Hang your britches on a nail, hang them high, hang them low, and all that kind of stuff. That's what the world says friendship is. You won't throw me under the bus, I think is probably the closest thing today. Told on him, things like that. That's not in the Scripture. The Scripture says that, if you love your friend, The wounds of a friend is what the Bible calls it. You tell them things like that. But the world says, you know, to be a good friend, you just got to have nicknames. You know, like, that's my homie. Or that's, I think the new thing is, that's my bruh. I don't know what a bruh is. I even seen two girls call each other bruh. I was like, wait a minute, I thought y'all were girls. We are. But you said bruh, I know. But anyway, they think that's friendship. Have a nickname, or, you know, get the same tattoo as each other, or things like that. That's not what the Bible calls friendship. You know, I saw guys going around calling each other, that's my boy. I was like, what is that? I was like, what in the world? You know, that's not friendship. The Bible says in Job 42:10, Job's so-called friends, Job, you must have done something. God's punishing you. You know, what'd you do wrong? What are you hiding? Are you like Achan, hiding stuff in your tent? What's wrong with it? And what did Job do? He just prayed for them. Lord, show them the right way. So that's a true friend. You pray for them even if they're berating you. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. You know, the prodigal son had some friends till the money was gone, but then they stopped loving him. But a true friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18:24, I don't have any friends. Well, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hey, be the right kind of friend. Proverbs 27:6, the wounds of a friend. There it is. You tell them what, you know, again, nickname's fine, fist bump here or there, high five, but true friendship tells you what you need to hear. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to obey your parents. You need to do your best in school. That's what a true friend will tell you. Not, hey, let's skip or let's do this. John 15:13, lay down the life for a friend is what a true friend is. So not only should we be a good child of God and a good student of the Scriptures, we ought to be a good friend. And then next, lastly, we ought to be a good Christian. We ought to look like one, act like one, talk like one, serve like one. And in conclusion, so how do we do that? First of all, we've got to be dissatisfied. Dissatisfied. Now, I know the Bible says in Philippians 4:11 to be content. So there are certain things that we just have to be content with. But there are some things that we can be dissatisfied with. Like, I don't want to be satisfied. I have it apprehended, like Paul said, with the Christianity that I lived in 2023. I want to be a better Christian this year. I don't want to be content. I want to keep growing. I want to be devoted. I want to be directed by the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit and by the rules, those standards. I want to be directed. I want to be determined. Set my face like a flint. I want to be disciplined. I want to do the right thing. A couple of guys in the Bible, I believe it was Ezekiel 24:18, talked about his wife dying. The next morning he was up preaching. I mean, that's tough. Now, some people have said, you know, that's he shouldn't have done that. He should have been more respectful toward his wife, all that kind of stuff. But he was just disciplined. This is what God called him to do. He did it. Of course, in Judges 11:35, we know the man that opened his mouth couldn't go back. Be disciplined. So, in conclusion, be all that Jesus wants me to be this year in 2024. Do all that Jesus wants me to do this year in 2024. And go everywhere that Jesus wants me to go this year in 2024. So let's have a word of prayer and we can be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, lots of material. Threw it all out there, Lord. I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to be determined. To be a better Christian this year than we were last year. To be a better student of the Scriptures this year than we were last year. Help us to be a better friend to anybody that we're a friend with this year than we were last year. And Lord, help us to be a better Christian and a better example in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.